Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. Be sure to subscribe where you listen to your podcast and turn those notifications on so you'll be in the know. Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. This episode of the Downtown Lowdown is powered by the Tip City Foundation, investing in what makes our community thrive. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. Welcome to today's episode of the Downtown Lowdown. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, and we've got our co-host, Greg Enslin.
Hi, Tasha. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I have not seen you in so long.
How have you been? It's just been a couple hours. Oh, I had a great lunch.
Yeah. You were here and then you left and now you're back.
Yes.
And I cleaned and vacuumed for 3 hours, so it's great. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I feel like you probably know our special guest in the studio pretty well today.
I do. Yes, I'm familiar with her work.
I would love it if you would introduce her for
us. Hi, I'd like to introduce Samantha Enslin, owner and operator, founder of Dragonfly Editorial.
Hi, husband and Greg, co-host of the Downtown Lowdown podcast.
Yes, co-host of the Downtown Lowdown. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are
you? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. That was very sweet of you to invite me, Tasha.
Oh, well, I mean, you are a friend of downtown. Mm-hmm. You are also a business that I consider to be downtown. So
100%.
We're very glad that you are in, because I feel like you're one of those hidden gems in Tip City that people don't know about. So I'm very excited to share the word about everything that Dragonfly does.
All right, let's do it. Yes, I think we are kind of a hidden gem.
It's a secret.
If that's not, does that sound like hidden pretentious gem? To yes. say about myself?
But it's fine.
But yes. I already said it, so yeah. I think you're okay. Good.
You're just agreeing with her, yes.
Okay.
It is a hidden gem. It's a secret. But yes, you have a very successful business right here in the downtown in Tip City, and people don't talk about it because they don't know.
Yeah. So let's just start kind of with what you do. So maybe just explain what your business does and how it got started.
Sure. Well, I can dive right in. So our business is called Dragonfly Editorial. And probably the best way to explain it is that we are what you would call a content marketing company. And we are a B2B agency. In other words, we primarily work with companies who are selling products and services from business to another business.
Okay.
And that's as opposed to what they call B2C, business to consumer, where a business is selling directly to, you know, your mom, your dad, you. So I think that might be why we are a bit hidden in Tip City. Most of our downtown businesses are selling directly to consumer. We're selling wonderful handmade soaps to people.
They do great. Yeah.
You know, stained glass or flowers or all kinds of cool things. So although we are technically downtown, we're just a block off of Main Street. Mm-hmm. We are kind of over there hidden doing our own thing. And we're working with customers who generally are not in Tip City and really not even in the Dayton area. Our customers are, golly, all across the U.S. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at geography, so I don't know.
As much as you travel, I don't know that I believe that.
From Maine to California, how's that?
Okay.
And they're all B2B businesses. So they're people who do things like what they call fintech. Well, that stands for financial technology. So the technology that lets you take a picture of a check and automatically deposit it in your banking account, for example, that's a quote fintech company. So we support companies like that, or big healthcare companies who provide Medicaid, Medicare managed services plans, or so-called management consulting firms that are helping other companies all around the world figure out how to run their businesses better. Okay. So that's kind of what our client base is, you could say. And again, that's why people probably have no clue that we exist.
Yeah.
In Tip City. And then the work that we do is, a simple way to say it is, we write things, we edit things, and we design things.
I love it.
We help people also do what you call content strategy, which is where you're helping them, even before you're ready to write anything or design anything, kind of sit down at the beginning of the year and say, what should you be writing about? What should you be promoting?
I wish you'd work with me on that. Do you know how many ideas I have in my head constantly?
We probably can. And so, and then help people figure out a content strategy and a content marketing plan for the year. Like, what do you want to emphasize? What messages do you want to get out to your customers or to the community? And is it best to do that? Maybe you should have a series of webinars. Maybe you should do a whole series of social media posts. Maybe you should write blogs.
Wow.
You know, maybe you should do some kind of research or analysis and publish a paper on that, or not a paper exactly, but a report on that topic. You know, Tasha, I know you're really well respected in the downtown promotions community. You know, I could see you writing a paper about how to put your best foot forward as a, you know, downtown, hometown business, something like that. So
I feel like the services that you offer would be very beneficial to many of our local businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do, because I talk to so many of the business owners, and I know that the struggles that they have, and, you know, sometimes everything that you're offering is exactly what some of those businesses need.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, anybody from the smallest business to the largest enterprise scale business is really all facing the same challenges. How do we get the word out about our products or services?
Consistently.
Consistently.
Yeah, that's hard.
How do we put our best foot forward? How do we, you know, talk about what's available and what we have to offer to our customers? And, you know, that's the exact same thing, like I said, whether you're selling a bar of soap or whether you're selling some kind of, you know, multi-million dollar IT platform that a bank is going to buy.
So as a woman leader and a woman business owner, have you ran into any kind of difficulties during your career?
Well, that's a great question. Let me answer that in a slightly different way, which is to say that I feel like I have really benefited from belonging to and supporting other associations that work with women business owners. For example, we belong to what's called WeBank. It's the Women's Business Enterprise National Council.
Oh.
That's a long acronym. So that's the main certifying body in the United States that actually gives you a full certification as being a woman-owned business.
Okay.
So if you want to go out in the world and advertise that about yourself, WeBank is who would certify you.
Mm-hmm.
And then through WeBank, you can also be certified through the government small business office, the U.S. federal government small business office, as an official certified woman-owned business. So that has been great and has, you know, opened the door to different opportunities for us. There's another group that I belong to, WPO, which is the Women Presidents Organization. That's a peer-to-peer network for other female business owners, and I belong to their Columbus chapter.
Okay.
So once a month, I drive up to Columbus and meet with a group. My particular chapter has about, depending on, you know, the year, it goes up and down, but we have about 10 to 15 members. Wow. So that's a chance for you to sit down with other women business owners who might be facing the same challenges you are and hear from their experiences and, you know, get advice on how you should proceed and how you might want to handle difficult issues.
Wow, that's a great resource.
It really is. And so over the years, WPO in particular has been a really great resource for me. I did something in the past several years ago through Aileron, that's our local resource that supports mid-sized businesses and family-owned businesses and helps them put professional management practices into place and create sustainable long-term businesses. Mm-hmm. And I was in a peer-to-peer group with them for a couple years, and it was extremely valuable. On the other hand, it was me and a bunch of guys who owned construction firms.
Okay.
So when real life issues did come up, like how as a woman do you manage running a business and also having little children?
Right.
And also having a, you know, household to run, to be honest with you, didn't face the same issues.
Right.
You know, I had one meeting when I did ask the guys about it, and one by one they just like all shook their heads and they were like, no, I don't do any work around the house. I don't cook, you know, I don't have to do any cooking or cleaning or anything like that.
I'm sure that's not the case for all men, but a lot of men in leadership position, that is how they live. I mean, that's just their lifestyle.
Yes. I'm sure Elon Musk is not out here like cleaning his bathtub at night. So,
I mean, maybe, who knows?
Maybe he is. I don't know.
Maybe that's how he likes it.
So he's really frustrated because he burnt his meatloaf. And it's like, what is going on with my meatloaf? It's all burnt.
So, you know, I've been really lucky to have Greg, who is my husband, who's been a stay-at-home dad while I was running the business. So I had a ton of support that
and
other people...
And some great comedic relief.
And some great comedic relief. So I've had a ton of support.
I think you're doing great, Sam.
Thank you. That other women in my situation don't have. But yeah, back to your original question, WeBank and WPO, those have been great resources for me as somebody who owns a woman-owned business.
That's great. I don't know if you were at the dinner, the annual dinner, and when Jessica Eccles from Always Blooming got up and spoke, she mentioned about how many of the downtown businesses are women owned. And that's really got me opening my eyes. And I think that Samantha from the Chamber and I are going to put something together this year to truly try to highlight how many women owned businesses we have downtown and in Tim City in general. So,
yeah, I heard her when she was saying that, and it's so curious. I wonder if is it something to do with having a small business? Is it something to do with the Tip City environment? It is really interesting right now that we do have so many woman-owned small businesses in Tip.
Yeah, and part of me, I mean, it does make me wonder. We have a safe community, you know, when in other cities, I travel to a lot of Ohio cities. I mean, I was just in some this week. There are downtowns where, as a woman, I wouldn't feel completely safe walking down the street by myself. I do here.
Or being in a store by yourself.
Right,
waiting
exactly.
For customers to come in. Yeah,
that's a great point, Greg. I think in many places, if I were running a shop, small shop by myself, I would feel uncomfortable being in there with a cash drawer and all this inventory.
Yes, and just for the record, it's also creepy for guys to be in a store by yourself and it's dark out and it's 8:30 and you've got, you know, $4,000 in the bank in the safe and you're like,
yes, and I believe
you're there by yourself.
Yeah, but I feel like a guy's gonna, if I'm a robber, I'm definitely gonna target a female before a man. I mean, unless it's a man that I don't think I can, you know, that I could fight pretty easy. I just think that women are an easier target, and it's unfortunate. I mean, it really is, but.
Yeah, I think definitely we have, I'm not sure if I would say greater fears, but different fears than men do. But yeah, Greg, if I recall back in the day when you worked retail, your store got, I don't know exactly what the right word is, like assaulted by thieves. And I believe they even like beat you up or something.
Nuh-uh.
I did get pushed to the ground.
Nuh-uh. Are you messing with me?
No, it really happened. Yeah.
Broke my nose.
Yeah. Here in Tip City?
No.
This is in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. In Los Angeles. I can see that. I'm like, there is no way that happened in
Tip City.
Come on.
No, next time if they want the Beatles CDs that they had grabbed, I will just let them have them because it doesn't matter because it's covered by insurance. So why get a giant boo-boo on the back of your head that you can still feel 20 years later? It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I always forget that you guys aren't from here. And I mean, I know that you're not, but I forget that sometimes.
We sort of are. I'm from the Dayton area. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
I grew up near where the old Salem Mall was, if you know this area. So I went to Trotwood Madison City Schools. So I lived here and well, I lived here all the way through high school. And then in college, I went to the College of Worcester, which is up in northern Ohio. Yeah.
It's near Canton.
Near Canton. And then after college, I moved out to the D.C. area, and I lived out there for about 15 years. And that's where I met Greg. And
we got
married. Yay. And then when we started having kids, I was able to convince Greg to move back to Ohio.
So I love it.
To be closer to my family. And as he likes to say, and this is actually true, I put together a PowerPoint presentation for him on all the benefits of why you could move back to, of moving back to Ohio. Everything from lower cost of living to being close to my parents so we could go out for more dates and things like that.
That wasn't the main pitch.
Oh, what was the main pitch?
I could retire and not work anymore.
That's true. Which,
it didn't work out at all because now I'm working more than I did then.
No, that's, but you're actually right. And that worked out for both of us because it was really important to both of us to have somebody who was home with our kids when they were little. Mm-hmm. And so we decided at that point in time, what made the most sense was I loved my work. I wanted to start Dragonfly and I would have that be my focus. And moving back here gave us that little bit more financial wiggle room mm-hmm. where we could afford to have Greg stay home yeah. and take care of the kids while I was, you know, trying to focus on that 100%.
Yeah.
And as people who have started a small business know, and Greg, actually, that's what you're experiencing right mm-hmm. now, starting up Clock Tower Media and taking on the newspaper, is it can be a, if not 24-hour job when you're starting, close to
a 48-hour job.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be honest. Yeah. You're like, where can I find more hours?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember days when I would stay up, like when I had a deadline, I would stay up as late as I possibly could and then like stumble from my office to the couch, mm-hmm. fall asleep, and then get up as, you know, as soon as I could make myself wake up in the morning, stumble back to the computer and start work again.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, now 20 years later, I don't have to do that. Thank goodness I don't have to do that
anymore.
But
you had to put the work in to get there.
I had to put the work in at the beginning to get there. But, you know, now at Dragonfly, we have a whole team of people that are absolutely wonderful. We have the world's best executive leadership team. And, you know, I can really focus on the high level vision and direction for where we're headed. And then I have wonderful people to support all of our operations and wonderful creatives to do all this fabulous creative work. Like yeah. I said before, the writing, the editing, the design, the content strategy.
Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about the project that you're working on with the Downtown Tip City Partnership?
Of course. That would be awesome.
Okay. So I know
Are you working on a project for the Downtown
Tip City? We are, actually.
You are?
Yes. Tasha that's has it so right here in her hot little hands.
Well, that's adorable.
It looks a little different from yesterday, huh?
That's new from yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday's looked different. That looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're helping.
Dragonfly Editorial did that?
Yes. We're helping Tasha put together. Schmubing. I'm sure if any of our listeners are here in Tip City, I'm sure many of you right now have on your refrigerator a flyer that lists all of the events going on in Tip City for the year. So right now, Tasha is preparing our list of 2026 events.
Yeah.
And Dragonfly is helping her do the design and layout for the flyer. So hopefully that will be hitting everybody's inboxes, actually yeah.
mailboxes
here pretty soon.
Old school.
If yeah. you live in the 45371, you're going to be getting this to your mailbox soon.
Awesome.
So stay tuned for the 2026 downtown events and you'll get to see firsthand some of the great work that Dragonfly does. Because I'm telling you, getting all of this information is like herding cats. So then just being able to give you all of the information and you guys design it, that helps so much because this is a lot of work.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, Tasha. And, you know, one of the things I say about our business, and I hope it's true, is that like the work we do is technically writing things or designing things, but our mission is to take stress off people's mm-hmm. plates and off of their life. And exactly what you're describing is what we want to do. Have people be like, oh my God, my boss told me that I have this report I have to get written, or oh my gosh, this whole thing just dropped in my lap and it's Friday afternoon and they, you know, they need me to turn it in on Monday. we want them just to be able to call us and like we're just act as an extension of their team.
Oh wait, so if I have this huge project and it's due next week, I can be like, Sam, help me.
That is exactly Yes. I dare say we specialize in last minute emergency projects and really being responsive to our customers when they like, our whole goal is to remove stress from their plates and like put it in our hands and we'll take care of it and get it back to you.
Wow. I might just hand you my whole Tulsa presentation and be like, can you get this ready? Because I have to change format and do all kinds of crazy things. Oh my God,
yes. Please just give it to us.
Your presentation was great. We could do that so
quickly.
I don't have to change the content.
Loved it.
Convert it from one file into the kind of format that they want.
Hmm. Yeah, we could do that for you easily and quickly.
Oh, nice.
Boom.
I might have just saved myself like 100 hours. Yes.
Nice. So you come in and you reduce people's stress.
That's the idea.
That's a great business to have mm-hmm. because everybody needs their stress reduced.
All your customers are happy.
We hope so.
Well, and you guys, you send out the cutest videos at Christmas and like your newsletters always have the best information in them. I mean, which it makes sense considering what you guys do. Because if you're sending out some crappy newsletters, I don't think it's going to help you. But
I think a lot of what is, I think there's two ways for businesses to communicate. Again, whether they're your small neighborhood business or whether they're a giant multi-million, billion-dollar corporation, you obviously want to have sales communications. Like, again, I keep going back to our Living Simply Soap here in Tip City because I love their products. I use them all the time. So you want to have communications that highlight your products and what's available. Hey, we have this wonderful new, you know, scent of soaps or this new product is available. So you want to let people know about what you have to sell and why they should buy them. Yeah. Simple as that. But then the other thing that can be a great way of communicating with your customers is what they call thought leadership content, which is where you're taking a point of view on something. So for example, Tanya at the soap store might have a blog about why it's so much healthier for you to use organic materials when you make your soaps rather than like chemically processed petrochemical type ingredients. She's not actually trying to sell anything in that. She's sharing important information with you.
Yeah.
And she's taking a stand on something
and then she supports it with her story
or her writing.
Yeah. Or the other store that I've been going in a lot recently, the Seven Sisters Apothecary.
I love that store.
That's another new business. You know, they could put out, for example, social media posts just talking about how you could use different herbs for health benefits. You know,
absolutely.
Lavender can help you with this. Thyme can help you with this. Mm-hmm. So they're not overtly trying to sell anything. They're just sharing valuable information with the public at large. And I think people appreciate the fact that they're not always being sold to, but that people are like freely sharing information that can be useful to them. And that's what we try to do with a lot of our social media content and our newsletter that we send out and our blog posts that we write.
And your Christmas videos are my favorite.
The Christmas video is just fun. Mm-hmm. But all that other content that we put out, I'd say probably a good 90% of it is like how-to information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How to write this type of piece. Here's some grammar tips you should know. Here's some conferences that are coming up that might be useful for you. Here's the latest book that's out on editing. Mm-hmm. Have you read it? So that's kind of how we try to communicate with our customers, that we're not just out to like sell you a bunch of stuff. We're here, again, to be helpful, to be cheerful, take stress off your plate.
I love it.
You're like a trusted advisor.
Yeah. I hope we are.
Yeah. That's good. And that's good to do. I was online yesterday looking for recommendations for PCs to purchase them because you were looking for a new computer for your office. It's hard to find somebody online that just is like, here's the 12 computers, and we went through the, like a consumer reports kind of thing, where you're like,
they used to have those.
Just tell me what to buy. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what to buy. But you want somebody to have gone through and done the work and figured it out and then write it up in a way that's easy to understand. So you guys are very good at that.
Thank you. Yeah, Greg is it's funny. I was going to say I'm the words person and Greg is the tech person, but he's actually both. He's the words person, and he's who I turn to for my IT guy when I need to buy a new PC or I need an external hard drive and I don't know what to get. Or even a candle.
Well, Greg, is there anything about Samantha or Dragonfly that the listeners should know that's appropriate for our listeners to know? And that Samantha will not
be upset
with you sharing?
No, I think she liked living in D.C. that we talk about a lot of the time. We had a lot of fun living there, but I think we both really appreciate living in Ohio.
Yeah.
In a small town.
How did you choose Tip City? Or did you know because you grew up locally?
Well, it was actually a no-brainer for us because about the same time that I moved to D.C., pretty shortly afterwards, my folks moved to Tip City.
Oh, okay.
So I think once my sister and I were out of the house, they were ready for a change.
It's a great little town.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
So they had been here. And so when we wanted to move back to the Dayton area, it was a no-brainer to come to Tip. And it was also sort of like meant to be in a weird way because we had come to Tip City the fall before we were thinking about moving, maybe. I'm not sure we even knew we were moving. And believe it or not, in the Dayton Daily News, they have like in the real estate section, they always have this featured home. And the home that we live in now was the featured home in the Dayton Daily News.
What?
And I was like, what a beautiful house. Mm-hmm. That is really neat. And then we were...
Do we still have that anywhere? I would love to run that down.
We kept it for a long time. I don't know if we still have it or
not. That's really awesome.
That is neat.
That's a great story.
Yeah. And then when we finally made the decision, like, we are ready to move, it was still on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And we were obviously able to move there. And we've been there for 20 years?
Yeah, we came back here to get married.
No.
In 2000.
Oh, before
and
that, yeah.
I hadn't really been here a lot before that, and I've been here for a couple of visits, but it's such a cute little place, and I've lived everywhere in the country. And the weather here is really almost perfect if you like the change of seasons.
I'm pretty sure the last 5 episodes you've been complaining about how cold it is.
Oh, yeah, and I will complain about the heat in the summer. It's too hot upstairs.
Right, you do.
I can't go in my office. It's too hot. But yeah, I've lived all over, and... when you suggested moving here after we had gotten married here and been here a few times, I'm like, tip of the town. I like that place.
That's
and
true.
And I don't even know what that is.
That was Greg's. Greg's favorite restaurant for so long. The diner that used to be up at the highway where the Taco Bell is now.
Yeah. I've heard about it. I've read about it.
Yeah. It only exists in my books now, sadly. Yeah. And I have the one chair. I have one chair from Tip of the Town.
Do you really?
The actual last existing chair from the restaurant. Yeah, it's here at the office somewhere.
Yeah, we went up there after it was completely bulldozed and like shuffled through all the rubble, and there was just like one chair sitting there in the middle that hadn't gotten destroyed by the bulldozing.
Wow.
And we took the chair for a memento.
That's awesome.
But I did like Tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then when it was time to move, we're like, where should we move to? And it was kind of a no-brainer. And then we both, for some reason, decided we wanted an old house in a downtown that's walkable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Who knew? So we drove around Troy. I don't think we went anywhere else besides Troy and Tip.
Mm-mm.
We might have gone to Piqua. But we were looking for a cute old house near a downtown. And Tip is just like perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been on the home tour?
Twice.
Mm-hmm. We were twice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been quite a while. But yeah, we were on it twice. Yeah. And that was a great experience too. Everybody who's run that over the years has always, I think, really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Last year. Mm-hmm. Somebody was talking about it, and it's a really, if you're on the home tour, it's a really good excuse to get a bunch of work done. that you need to get done anyway.
So I'm going to tell you guys, you got about a couple years and we're going to be knocking on your door.
Oh,
so
boy.
Here's your warning.
Well, the good idea. We'll prepare.
We've gotten a lot of stuff done since the last time we were on, so that's good.
Yeah. I also want to give some shout outs. Reed Spencer was our realtor when we moved to town. Shout out
Small
to Reed.
Small world.
Kathy Hedipole showed us through the house.
In a foot and a half of snow?
Yeah.
It was a mess. We went through it in February, I think. And we got a good price because buying a house in the dead of winter is a good idea.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And then that was just... another coincidence, actually, is very shortly after we moved here, Greg and I were in the library downtown, and somebody had stuck a flyer up on the wall that they were interested in getting an organization together to promote the downtown Tip City. And for some reason, I guess it intrigued both of us, and we both went to the meeting.
Very first meeting.
Was it Ruth?
In the basement of the library.
I think Ruth was there. And Reed and all of the initial...
Some people from the city.
Founders. And so Greg kind of got... I'm sure he might have felt at a loss a little bit moving to Tip City because I had my parents here and, my extended family. He didn't know anybody. So kind of falling into the lap of the partnership when it was first getting started was, I think, a great way because you just ran with that.
And made a bunch of friends.
We're involved
from
the very beginning.
For the partnership. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a great organization.
It is. And I love how it brings, like you said, we have a lot of people that are not born in Tip City that are very active in our different committees. We're having a discussion at our promotions committee, and I'm pretty sure that there's not anybody in our promotions committee that is a local person. But we're the people that are the most passionate about promoting our downtown. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It is different if you live in a town where everybody's been there since they were born versus a town where everybody moved to on purpose.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's intentional.
Yeah. Now, I definitely do get... I will say living in Tip City, that was the first time that I kind of ever got the concept of all the like rock and roll songs that are like, gotta get out of the small town, gotta move to the big city. Where I can see that like if you're a young one, you might be like, oh my God, I want to move to a big city. And at least two of our children have already done that. Who knows what will happen with the third.
But I think you need to get out when you're younger.
I think you need to get out when you're younger. And essentially, that's what I did.
That's what we did.
I moved from Trotwood to D.C. for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then when it
got
was
the
right...
Got shot at, and then it's time to move back to Tip.
Not true. That never happened. But then, when it was the right time, I wanted to be back someplace where I was close to family, where I felt safe, where I had a community, and where there was a more reasonable cost of living.
Yeah. Completely understand that.
Yeah. And like what Greg said, I think at least in the downtown Tip City, having a walkable environment, that was huge for us because once you have lived in a city that is walkable and living in downtown DC for years where I could, walk to restaurants, walk to the bar, there were buses everywhere if I didn't want to, if something was a little bit farther. That is such an amazing lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so being able to leave the big city and have that here in Tip City is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is. I understand what you're saying. I lived in the country for the last 13 years. Mm-hmm. And when I moved into downtown, it was such a shock at first. But now I can't imagine not just being able to walk to work.
Yeah. You can just walk to the library. It's right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to get in your car and drive.
Right. I can walk to Bodega and get my food and then
while
walk
I'm
home.
While I'm at the library, why not just go to Bodega?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there are some dangers of living so close to downtown where I can walk and get everything.
I have a lot of soap.
You are not kidding me. After when I our Dragonfly office right now is over on Walnut Street, but when I first moved outside of our house and actually got an office outside the home, it was actually in what's now the Chaffee's space.
Really?
Yeah. that which before us, it was a very small beauty parlor that was in the corner there. So it
went you were right on the corner there by the alley.
So it went from beauty parlor to Dragonfly Editorial to now Chaffee's. But I kid you not, just being that much closer to the downtown, I swear I gained 5 pounds like in the first year because I was like, I can get cake, I can get scones, I can get lattes all the time. So
yeah, I've got 15 minutes. I can run down and get a coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get it. Trust me, I get it.
So, Tasha, I think you need to do a new podcast on the dangers of downtown Kip
City.
There
are no dangers of downtown.
And how much weight you can gain just from going to all our awesome restaurants and coffee shops and things.
Hey, I will take it because, like I said, I've been in downtowns where I've been starving and couldn't find anything to eat. Mm. And it's like, oh, what am I going to do tonight?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful for our little downtown and all of the businesses that choose to start here and open here and come here. So thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, thanks for having me on the podcast. It's been really great to talk to you guys. And Tasha, I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. And Greg, I'm sure I'll talk to you in a couple hours when we decide what to make for dinner.
I have a plan.
Okay, Taco Bell at 6.
Love it.
Okay, we'll see.
Actually, Tasha, that was last night. Taco Bell at 7.
Taco Bell and movie at 7. And that was the best.
Yeah, so.
Awesome. Well, have a great weekend and thanks for coming.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you for tuning in to the Downtown Lowdown. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a story behind the storefronts. I'll be back every Wednesday with more conversations about the people, places, and moments that make downtown Tip City special. If something we talked about today sparked your curiosity or you want to dig a little deeper, I encourage you to reach out to the Tippecanoe Gazette editor and share your thoughts or questions. Community conversations matter. And if you love these stories and you want to be part of them, consider becoming a friend of downtown. Your support helps us preserve, promote, and enhance the downtown we all love. Thanks for joining us on the Downtown Lowdown. I'm Tasha Weaver, and until next time, we'll see you downtown.
Looking to stay in the know about everything happening right here in Tip City, Ohio? Then tune in to Newsmakers, a local podcast hosted by Greg Enselin in partnership with the Tippecanoe Gazette. Each week, Greg sits down with the people making things happen in Tip City. From business owners to event organizers and volunteers, Newsmakers brings you the inside scoop. Subscribe today, wherever you get your podcasts.